From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Anna Van Dyne.
And I'm Henry App. It's Friday, February 3rd. Here are today's headlines.
Vermont's retail cannabis marketplace has gotten off to a strong start, and that means more money is coming into the state's coffers than initially expected. There are two state taxes on cannabis products, the 6% sales tax and a 14% state excise tax. The Cannabis Control Board expected the excise tax would raise about $250,000 a month, but new revenue reports show sales running about 50% higher than projected. James Pepper is chair of the board.
There's a very healthy start to this market, especially when you kind of consider that the growers, the outdoor growers, didn't get a full season. Many of our product manufacturers are just getting up and running now. And, you know, through 2022, we only had a handful of retail outlets open around the state.
All revenue from the sales tax on cannabis is dedicated to after-school programs, and about a third of the excise tax will go towards youth drug prevention programs.
Unionized workers at the community health centers of Burlington have ratified a new contract. The agreement covers about 250 employees at nine locations around Chittenden and Grand Isle counties. Among other measures, the contract will raise the organization's minimum wage to $20 an hour starting in August. It follows a separate vote at UVM Medical Center last week, where support staff chose to unionize. That created a new bargaining unit of about 2,200 workers. Brandon Lawson is a medical assistant at the community health centers. He says more healthcare workers are choosing to organize after working through the pandemic.
I think we saw our own value and kind of culturally across healthcare have decided to fight for better.
The new contract will also give health center employees more paid time off and more say in certain organizational decisions.
Another Vermonter has been charged for allegedly assaulting police in the January 6th insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. Authorities arrested 41-year-old William Arthur Nichols Jr. of Manchester on Wednesday. Prosecutors say Nichols, who's charged with eight crimes, assaulted police officers with a plastic shield on the Capitol steps, according to 7 Days. Nichols is the second Vermonter to be charged for his role in the insurrection. Former Wolcott resident Nicholas Langerand is serving a 44-month prison sentence after pleading guilty to assaulting a law enforcement officer with a dangerous weapon.
And as you've likely heard, it's going to be cold today and tomorrow, like really cold. The National Weather Service says wind chills as low as negative 30 and 40 are possible. That's caused the organizers of the annual Penguin Plunge to adapt. About 900 people had registered to dunk in Lake Champlain plane on Saturday as part of a fundraiser for Special Olympics Vermont, but due to the extreme cold, the event is going remote. Missy Siner is the president of Special Olympics Vermont. She says a remote penguin plunge can take many forms.
Making snow angels in your bathing suit or shorts and a t-shirt. You could go cross-country skiing. You could do that. You know, you could dump a bucket of cold water on yourself or have a friend do that or do a bucket brigade. You could go sledding.
Special Olympics Vermont is encouraging people to film their remote plunge and to do it another day besides Friday and Saturday and to be safe and lawful.
Coming up, lawmakers are considering increasing oversight of county sheriffs. More after this.
Thanks for tuning in to The Frequency, and thanks to Vita for their support. Vita, celebrating 50 years of helping Vermont businesses grow and thrive. From agriculture to energy, startups to established companies, find solutions that fit your business. Visit veda.org to start your next chapter.
There's been a spate of controversies and alleged misconduct among Vermont County sheriffs in the past year. In Addison County, the sitting sheriff was charged with sexual assault and refused to resign. The Bennington County sheriff appeared to be living out of state. And in Caledonia County, the sheriff gave questionable bonuses to himself and his employees. The string of concerning incidents has spurred lawmakers to debate adding more oversight to Vermont's 14 independently elected sheriffs. Our colleague Liam Elder Connors has more.
On Monday afternoon in Franklin County Superior Court, Judge Martin Maley moved through the docket. It was fairly routine, mostly checking on the statuses of cases.
All right, our next matter is State of Vermont versus John Grismore.
But in this pending simple assault case, State versus John Grismore, Maley noted something unusual.
I've reached out to our chief administrative judge to ask for some guidance as to what we might want to do here in Franklin County with regards to holding any hearings for Mr. Grismore, who's our soon-to-be elected, as I understand it, a newly elected sheriff.
Grismore won the Democratic and Republican nomination for sheriff last summer. Shortly after his victory, a video was released showing Grismore, a former deputy in the sheriff's department, kicking a handcuffed and shackled man. He was fired and charged with simple assault. But Grismore still managed to win the sheriff's office in November, beating back two write-in challenges. The sheriff has pleaded not guilty. Judge Maley, during Monday's hearing, suggested moving Grismore's pending case to another county.
Our courts are staffed by deputies who are overseen by the sheriff. And I guess at least that presents the possible appearance of a conflict of interest, which I think we should try to avoid.
Grand Isle State's Attorney Doug DeSabato told the court the state was concerned that three of their witnesses would soon become Grismore's employees.
And we just want to make it very clear on the record that Mr. Grismore should not be speaking to those witnesses about this case at all.
State police also confirmed last week they were investigating Grismore in the sheriff's department after the state auditor flagged some financial issues. But there's nothing in Vermont law that prevents a person with a pending criminal charge or investigation from becoming sheriff. And on Wednesday, Grismore was sworn in. Some lawmakers think that needs to change.
I'd ask all of us to consider if we need more accountability, professional qualifications, and basic transparency so that we are not so reliant on and subject to the personal character of whoever happens to be elected sheriff every 4 years.
That's State Representative Michael McCarthy, a Democrat from Franklin County. On Wednesday, McCarthy led a hearing on the role of independently elected sheriffs and possible reforms. Law enforcement officials typically bristle at proposals to add oversight, and sheriffs, who are independently elected and answer only to voters, have long enjoyed near total autonomy. But in these early stages, some sheriffs appear open to submitting to some form of outside supervision. Lamoille County Sheriff Roger Marcoux told lawmakers Wednesday that reforms are needed.
I'm very dismayed as to what's occurred in this state. What the sheriffs need is structure. They need to be accountable, and we need a mechanism to constantly have that oversight.
But even if sheriffs are on board, adding oversight will be difficult. Sheriffs are elected officials whose powers are spelled out in the Constitution. Legislative Counsel Tim Devlin told lawmakers that short of a constitutional amendment, reforms are limited.
Put simply, the Constitution controls the qualifications for sheriffs and how they enter and exit into office.
A constitutional amendment could be on the horizon. Lawmakers in the Vermont Senate recently introduced a proposal that would allow the legislature to set qualifications for sheriffs. The process of amending the state constitution takes years. The proposed amendment wouldn't take effect until 2026, if the process stays on track. For Vermont Public, I'm Liam Elder Connors.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Bob Kinzel, Elodie Reed, and Karen Anderson.
Our executive producer is Mark Davis, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Anna Van Dyne.
And I'm Henry Epp. Talk to you on Monday.
Maybe I've told you this before, but there was a grocery store in Northfield when I was really little. Mm-hmm. It was a Grand Union.
Oh, yeah.
But when I was first learning to read, I thought it was the Grand Onion.
Yeah.
Because Union looks like it should be pronounced Onion.
Yeah, makes sense.
Anyway.
Yeah. All right. Onionized word. No, I actually didn't mean to. Okay.
How are we supposed to fix what we don't talk about? Welcome to Homegoings, a Vermont Public podcast that encourages fearless conversations about art and race.
It's like an extended family, and especially around homegoing time.
Join us for Homegoings, wherever you get your podcasts. We're a proud member of the NPR network.